bless the Lord for being able to be in the house of God. How good it is to be in God's house, and I'm glad you're here that we might enjoy and worship together. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Luke, in Luke in chapter number 15. In the book of Luke, chapter number 15. I just love preaching every now and again about this subject and about this young man. And the reason being is because we have a lot of young people that are in our midst. Not all of them are young men, but there's some young men and young ladies as well. And I'll tell you something, what a tender and age that they are right now. You find the place, chapter 15, the book of Luke, and about verse number 1, we'll start. You're able to stand, then stand there while we look. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. In other words, that's why we're here. We want to hear what God had to say to our heart. And the Pharisees and scribes, they murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Thank God. Thank God he does. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, that if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. In verse number 8 through 10, he talks about a woman had 10 pieces of coins and lost one of them. And she lit a lamp until she swept and found it and got that piece that she had lost back. And then verse 11, and he said, a certain man had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me, and he divided unto him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went, sent him to the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, boy, what a great time that was for him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants is my father's have, and bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but whenever he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, Father, we ask your blessings on the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Forgive us where we have failed thee, taken thee for granted. Help us, I pray now, to have our hearts humble before thee, open our eyes of understanding. Give us repentance and faith, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. Every now and again, I like to be able to preach about this young man here because of the fact is that there's many lessons out of Luke chapter number 15 that we're looking at. Did you notice out of 100 sheep, there was one that was lost? That's 1%. Did you notice then that out of the woman that had the 10 pieces of coin, there were 10 pieces that she had, and now she lost one of them, and so there's 10% that's been lost. By the time we get to the prodigal son, there's only 2 sons, and one of them appears to be lost, though both of them are. But if the question is not, is he a backslider or is he lost without God? I'm sure that probably he was a Jew, and being a Jew, it was very humiliating for him to feed swine down in the hog pen of lying. But that, regardless of that, the application that we're given and that we're looking at is that out of 2 sons, one of them was lost, 50% gone. Hey, do you think the Lord's trying to tell us that the closer the coming of the Lord, that the more and more people are going to be lost without God, religious but lost without God? I said to you that when you begin to look into this, is that you'll find that here's a young man that had life, boy, he had it made. I mean, he had plenty to eat. In fact, he recognized whenever he was in the hog pen of life, he recognized that his father had servants that had bread to spare. And there he was suffering and hunger and hungry in a hog pen. Don't you know that smelled good? Have you ever been around a hog pen? That's nasty. I've got a video somewhere where Brother David caught some wild hogs. And it's a picture of Nathan. He wasn't, I don't know, about that high. And he's in there, Brother David, you hear him saying, "Get him, catch him, catch him." He grabbed him by the hind leg, and man, that thing was squealing and hollering. And I mean, it was a rough wrestle. And I thought for a minute the hog was going to take advantage of him. But finally, look at him, and what a fine, tall young man is. I thought about this morning. I sent there Dylan. I was thinking about, I can't tell you all the things that I taught them boys back when, you know, because... you know, I've got them whenever they were that tall, and we were over there in Alpine, and they were just little old tots, and I thought to myself as they were there, you know, and cutting up and going on with them and this and that and so forth and on, and driving back and forth, and sometimes Dylan, he'd sing them little songs like, "Nationwide is on your side," and we had a whole list of things there that were doing it. And all that business there. I got one of them when it was popular on TV that we ought not have been watching. But I got one of them where him and Connor singing, "B-double-O-T-Y. Get that butt up high." Son, it's a hoot, I'm telling you. But I got to thinking about all the little stuff and things that we were doing. And these kids, as they were growing up and babies, and I thought to myself out there, as little as they were, and singing that. And this morning, he's 16 years old, got his driver's license, and running errands for me in the house of God, giving a note to a singer to be able to pick out a song. Is anything too hard for God? In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, nothing is too hard for God. Every now and again, you and I come up against a situation that makes us question and wonder it, but I got to tell you right now, everything is running right on time, and he knows exactly what's going to happen next. In the lesson that we're looking at here, you're going to find out here's a young man, all of a sudden, he got bored about being around mom and daddy. He got tired of being able to have enough money to put in his pockets. He got tired, buddy, of just the same old humdrum. He took for granted, "I'm at the Father's house. I've got a place to worship. I've got plenty to eat, shoes on my feet. I've got it made right here." He took for granted all of that, and he decided one day, you know what, I want to get out on my own. I'm ready to go and be. Some of you are getting to that place in your life to where you want to be on your own. I'll tell you what's going to happen. That is, if you've got a good home, now if you've just lived in a hell hole all your life, then any step you take might be an improvement. But let me tell you right up front, you're going to recognize and realize it won't be long after you said, "I do," you get married, you've got a place of your own, having to make your own decision, that you're going to want to holler, "Mama! Daddy!" See? I was thinking about in this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that all of you boys that are here right now, some of you are already getting big enough, you know, carrying that comb in your pocket or carrying your own billfold, you know, walk around like a banty rooster, and you're ready to jump on and spur anybody and anything that comes along. You see, what I'm talking about is that here's a young man and could have been a young lady. But she's tired of the comforts of home and living and being able to serve God. And you know, they get a lot of that discontentment from you and I in the day we live. We prayed and asked God, "Lord, give us some children. We'll raise them up in the love, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. We'll do what we can to build a hedge about it. We'll do what we can to teach them what right doctrine is. We'll go out of our way to be able to keep them under the sound of the preaching of the word of the Lord." And then if you're not careful, you're going to get your eyes on something else. And you won't notice it until it turns to pot. And then you're going to be saying, I didn't see that coming. How could you not see it coming? This man, he had his living divided to him. And boy, here he is. He's about to take on. He's about to have himself a good time. He's certainly going to get an education. Here's a man that's just kind of wandering aimlessly through life. You boys and girls that are here this morning, I don't know who's who and what's what, and I don't try to keep up with it. But can you remember the day you bowed your head and repented toward God, and by faith you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you can't remember that, then what is it exactly you're waiting on? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out that he was up wandering just aimlessly through life. What is your purpose in life? I don't know. What are you going to tell a man whenever he asks, and you're wanting to ask for her hand in marriage, or he's asking for your hand in marriage? What are you going to do if somebody says, hey, what's your aim, son? What's your aim? Well, right now, it's kind of dating, running around, having a good time with your daughter. Is that the only ambition that you've got? How about a job? Be like that old boy went to work and he said, man, hey, I didn't know whenever y'all going to expect me to stay 8 hours a day here and work too? That's easy to think that, ain't it? I said all that just so you know, here's a man that's just wandering aimlessly through life. Do you know this man here, what he's doing is he's wasting a lot of opportunity that he could have had to got it straightened out. But he still got a little bit of money left over in his pocket. He still got a little bit of jingle. I said this morning, I was so excited about it because I am excited about it. I never will forget whenever I first got my first charge account. I was so excited because then I realized, no, hey, isn't this great? I mean, my word, when you charge something, you can send your money before you make it. I never will forget that whenever the first time that a bill came in. Of course, you know, I grew up in the era where you could just go in and take a check off the counter, and it wasn't personalized or nothing, and fill that buddy out and cash it right there. They had stacks of checks for every bank in the community. And I knew one old boy at a station there. He went in. The guy said, hey, the check you wrote me is bad. And he looked at it and he said, I guess it was. I don't even have nothing in that bank. Hand me that check right there. I don't even know what I was thinking. I'd like to go ahead and give you enough for that one, and I need to draw another 15 or 20 if I could. He didn't have any money in that one either. He's a guy here looking to play the system. I want to say to you that, if you will, that this young man goes out and the Bible says that he wasted his life. Let me tell you something, fellows. Let me tell you something, you gals, is that if you're sitting here this morning and you're not saved by the grace of God, your life will be a wasted life. If you live without God and you die without God, you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell without God. What a sad, wasted life that you've lived if you live without the Lord and die without Him. I will say next of all that, if you will, please, is that he finally spent all of his money. And boy, I'm going to tell you right now, somebody said, what was he spending it on? I don't know. His elder brother thought he was over there running around with whores and stuff and having a good time. But it doesn't say that that's what he did. It doesn't say that at all. That's just what his brother was surmising. He's thinking out there the whole time he's at home, you know, doing all the work. I'm doing the work. My brother's over there having a good time running them $2 whores or $10 whores or whatever it was. He's chasing harlots, and I'm over here doing it. It doesn't say at all that he does any of that. What we do know is that the idea is that your life without the Lord, your life outside of the Heavenly Father's house, is a wasted life. It's a wasted effort. He's not going to be interested in whatsoever that you may or may not be doing. I can tell you right now, as I was thinking about, have you ever seen a fellow by the name of Warren Buffett? He looks like he's 110, but I bet he's probably, I don't know, 80-something years old. And old Warren has become a multi-billionaire. So there ain't no flies on that. Now, I don't know what he plans to do with it, and here's how he lives. Here's how he lives. He's got some good ideas. If you want to get rich quick and you want to get rich and follow his plan, course, he said there's five things you can do. And by the time you get through listening to that 12 minutes, I forgot what the question was. But here's how he does. He said, poor people stay poor because they buy candy bars. Or they buy another car. Or because, and he's got a whole list of little old things. Or they splurge and they eat out and eat steak. Here's what he eats. He eats at McDonald's. I throw up when I go to McDonald's, but there he eats at McDonald's. What's a multi-billionaire plan to do with the rest of his money? He's about to die and leave it in this world to somebody. And all he ever done, listen, I hope there's a messenger in hell that says, I bet you wish now you hadn't just ate at McDonald's. Can you imagine that? Now, if you're a McDonald's eater, my wife and I go every now and again, and we eat a breakfast there. You can't mess up breakfast real bad. I'm not against going. I say things like that if there's Mexican food in hell, it'll be called Taco Bell. But that doesn't mean I'm against it. Whatsoever. I said all that to be able to say this. Let me tell you, this Bible said that when you look into it, that he wasted his living, he wasted his money, he wasted his life in riotous living. And the Bible said that whenever he got to where he's broke, and he got to the place to where that absolutely he began to be in want. I want you to notice that, and I want you to see it. He got to where he was in such bad shape in verse number 14 when he began to be in want. You know, nobody ever gets saved until they go to wanting it. Nobody ever gets born again until they realize they're not. Nobody's ever going to be able to have the best God's got to give them until they begin to want it and want something that they can by themselves be able to accomplish. And the Bible said when he had spent all in verse 14, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And then he began to be in want. This Bible said that, if you will please, is that in the very best day of his life, in verse 17 that we've read, and when he finally came to himself. And boy, he's about to wake up, ain't he? Remember the day God woke you up and showed you yourself like he sees you lost without God? Remember that? Remember whatever God showed you that, hey, listen, there's only one thing that you really need, and that's repentance and faith toward God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said whenever he came to himself, he got to thinking about how good it was back home at the Father's house. I've seen people start out going to church and then fizzle out. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to find anything better than being down at the house of God. Now, you'll get a lot of people that'll help you with a whole lot of things up and down the road of life. But I got to tell you something. Is that if you'll come to the house of God, be faithful to God, live for God, serve the Lord every day of your life, start out walking with him in fellowship, and go to bed at night and the pillow your head in fellowship with God, whatever you do, whatever kind of job you have, whatever it is you're facing in life, I guarantee you he'll lead and guide and direct you every step of the way, and you'll have a fulfilled life. Now, somebody come along and may tell you, hey, here's what you ought to be doing. If you're already happy with what you're already doing, we need somebody else to come up and tell you. They might want to tell you something to lead you away from God. Let me tell you right now, make no mistake about it, is that if you get around 10 or 15 preachers, if you get around 10 preachers, they'll give you 30 or 40 things that you ought to be doing. And won't none of them go together. I asked every now and again one of them, hey, is that what you're doing? And boy, they'll stop and look, and sometimes they'll grin at you, you know. No, they've been called now. Didn't know you was going to ask me a question. I just said all that to be able to say this. Isn't it amazing that in the day and hour that we're living in, so many people wandering aimlessly through life, just wasting their life? This Bible said that whenever you look into it, he finally came to himself. You know what he's about to do? He's about to see himself just like God sees him. I remember the day God showed me myself like he saw me. It's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty sight. And fact is, you'll find that he begins to realize that all of that business there, that the only way he's ever going to get this thing resolved, he's going to have to come. And here's what he does. He rehearses. He said, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to tell my father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Isn't it amazing when we read this story here that whenever the account that's been given, the record here that's given, isn't it amazing that whenever we get there and he sees the father sees him a great way off, and the father has put up a calf, a fatted calf, looking with anticipation to him coming home, and then they're going to kill it, and they're going to have a feast, and they're going to rejoice. My son that was lost, now he's found. And this Bible said that whenever he comes over there to the father sees him a great way off, and he goes running to meet him. You know what that tells me? The Heavenly Father's more anxious for you to come than you are to get there. And this Bible said that whenever he looked at, while he's telling the father, and you can reread it again later, but while he's embraced, the father's embracing him, and while the father's hugging him, he starts telling him, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. And the father's answer is, bring the fatted calf and kill it, the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. This my son was dead. He's alive, and he's ready to get on business. He's lost, now he's found. I got to say to you that the Heavenly Father is forgiven. And not only is the Heavenly Father forgiven, but you'll find out that he is more anxious and more compassionate for you and I to come than we are to receive it. All you boys and girls here that are big enough to know you're a sinner by now, God ever tug at your heart and open you up and bring you to yourself? You ever just wanted to bow your head and trust the Lord with all of your heart because he's knocking on it, he's brought it to your mind, nobody's pumping you, nobody's messing with you, but the Holy Ghost of God's pounding up on your heart's door? And have you ever thought, you know what I want to do? I just want to trust the Lord with all of my heart and soul. I hope that's been your case. If it's not, it can be, and one day it will be, if you'll be listening. See, if you'll be listening. I wonder that whenever he got through and they got to rejoicing, they were having a time, they were singing, they were jumping and dancing, jubilee. We're not talking about ballroom dancing. We're talking about the excitement and the dancing of being able to have victory, that all of a sudden something good has happened. But his brother wasn't happy at all about it. He wasn't happy at all. In fact, as he began to inquire what's going on up there at the father's house, he's depending on secondhand information. Now, I'm going to tell you, I can tell you how good it is firsthand. And if you're a person that's having to ask secondhand information about God, you need something radically, powerfully, divinely moved in your heart and your life. I just wonder here as we get ready to leave here. Here's a man that the day he came home, do you ever notice that there's not any saying about his life anything more after that? Why? I'm sure he didn't make that mistake again. I'm sure he stayed right there at the father's house. I wonder how many days went by whenever he is out there and slopping up. Hey, let me slop him hogs there, Papa. I wonder those days he was out there and thinking about, you know, there was a time I would have ate the husk these hogs are eating and nobody'd give it to me. Nobody's ever loved me like my Heavenly Father. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of. There may be somebody, Lord, that says, Preacher, I'll tell you, I'm ready to let go and let God have his will and way in my life. I want to trust him with my heart and with my soul. There may be somebody like that. I pray that, Lord, that you'd help them to do it. And, Lord, I praise you and thank you that thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. Now, bless the word to every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing an invitation song. Let's have